The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
What do you do for fun? And I said, I don't know. I don't think I do anything. I don't hunt. I don't camp. I don't work all my life to go pretend like I'm homeless for a week. I mean, I don't go camp.
Next, Pastor Perry Noble reveals what's holding you back from living the life you've always dreamed of.
Why wouldn't you think that your heavenly Father gets joy from hearing you belly laugh?
Today, thank you so much for joining us. I'm Betty, and this is James.
Yeah, we got Perry Noble with us, and we had him the other day. And did you make you laugh?
Oh, yes.
He's crazy. He's crazy. You know, he's got a book called Unleashed. Perry Noble. He's in Anderson, South Carolina. Conducted a crusade there years ago. Never forgot it. Loved the people there. You were so responsive. And it's obvious this guy seems to be free. He talks about breaking free from, you know, just the normal routine. And really talks a whole lot about breaking free from old, dead, dull religion. Craig Rochelle, who's been one of our guests a number of times and pastors Life TV Church, he says, if you're tired of doing things halfway and you're ready to experience God's power in a new way, you are ready for Unleashed. I want you to welcome the pastor of the New Spring Church in Anderson, South Carolina, Perry Noble. Would you say welcome? Good to see you, Perry. Good to see you again, buddy. Glad you're here. Yeah. I really hope the people that missed your show the other day who you talked about, you know, several things interesting, but I got to be honest with you, the part in the hair deal was just worth going back. Just flash around. Go back on laughday.org. Go back over and say, you got to hear about this boy at school. Just go listen to it. All right. Perry.
It was awful.
It was awful. Yes, it was awful. It was really funny, but it was awful. I don't know that I'm over it yet.
I still hurt for that girl.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. And 10 years of hurt, you still knew it was there.
Many years. Yeah.
But Betty, do you think, is she okay with you now?
I have no idea.
She at least spoke to you.
She did speak to me at the 10-year reunion. She did. But like somebody asked me in the book, they said, did you make up that name? And I was like, no, that's really her name. And
what
they said,
it?
Does she? I heard Tara Ann. And I was.
Tara Ann.
I didn't use her last name, but I was like, I did not make up the name. That story is as real as it gets. God help us all.
In the book, you talk about how we can get stuck.
Yes, sir.
In unforgiveness. And I try to point out to people whenever I can, if I have the opportunity, that the only part of the model prayer, we call it the Lord's Prayer, and in Matthew 6 is where you can find the Sermon on the Mount, and the Our Father, you know, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, you know, and so forth. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, or forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's the only part, the moment he concludes the prayer, he comes back and references again, because he says, if you don't, then you're stuck.
Yes, sir.
Because something's happened between you and the Father.
Yes, sir.
So is that kind of what you address about you getting stuck in your past if you don't forgive?
Yes, sir. In the book, people always want to try to take that last part of the Lord's Prayer and actually write that in the book, and they say, well, what did Jesus mean in that last part where he said, if you don't forgive people, you're not forgiven? And I said, I think Jesus meant if you don't forgive people, you're not forgiven, because forgiven people forgive people, period. And it's not easy.
Exactly.
But some people say, well, I'm going to wait till I feel like forgiving. But if you wait till you feel like forgiving somebody that hurt you, you'll never forgive.
It builds.
It does. And you hold on to that anger, that bitterness, that animosity toward that person. And then being mad at somebody else and expecting it to hurt them is like me drinking poison and expecting to kill someone else. Mm-hmm. And when I refuse
to
forgive someone, I'm drinking poison and hurting myself.
I like the emphasis that you made there.
Well, the pushback that I get when I teach on this is they say, well, you know, they need to pay for what they did. And I'm like, we need to pay for what we did, but Jesus paid for that sin on the cross. And so because he paid, we don't have to pay. And listen, if there needs to be justice, God will take care of justice, but he'll take care of it in his time, not ours. We got to trust the Father to handle what we can't understand and what we can't see. I use a story in the book, or I allude to it, in the fourth grade. When I was in K-4, again, I was a hyperactive kid, and I got locked in the bathroom at school, and I couldn't get out, and I started screaming. And
that somebody did it on purpose?
I have no idea what happened. I just remember getting out of the bathroom, and my K-4 teacher, it was a private school, slapping me in the face, open-handed, slapped me in the face. And so I went home, and my dad had came in, and, you know, he sat down at the table, and he had probably had a beer 12, and we started talking about what happened at school. And I said, Miss Moore slapped me in the face. And he said, she did what? And I said, Miss Moore slapped me in the face. And he said, all right. And my father and my mother went to the school the next day. I don't have any idea what happened. I just know that my father handled the situation, and it was taken care of. All I had to do was tell my father what happened. He took care of it in his time, and I was okay. And that's what God, that hurt. You know what? You tell God, this hurt me. He's the perfect Father. He will make everything right in his time. We need to trust him instead of going, no, I'm going to make that person hurt. I'm going to make that person pay. We just have to trust the Father. He's going to take care of us. He'll take care of the situation. Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:11, he makes everything beautiful in his time. I just think it's a major barrier that holds most people back from really taking another step forward in their walk with Christ because they can't forgive.
When you write a book like this, it normally, because I've written quite a few books, and I know back when I was doing the Crusades, a lot of it would come from my sermons, my messages.
Yes, sir.
I know our pastor, Robert Morris, you know, the books that he writes normally come from messages. And so forth, and I'm sure this probably came from some of the things you were sharing at the church. So when you're looking at the total impact of what came to be the content here, and you're looking at your church congregation, you're watching them, and then you know we've got viewers all over the world who are watching right now. What's in your heart as a pastor, as somebody who just cares, what do you hope would happen inside the person that goes through the various areas and issues that you deal with? What's your hope for them?
I really hope that my desire for everybody on the planet is that we could live in the freedom that God created us to live in. I was talking with a friend several years ago, because all of this is very fresh for me, and we were talking about my struggles. At the time, I was struggling with depression and fear and anxiety and worry. This was about 2 years ago, and it was an intense battle.
And this is as a Christian and
yes,
as a pastor.
As a Christian, as a pastor of a growing
right.
church.
And big misrepresentation to tell people who've come to Christ or who go to church faithfully, like they don't have any challenges.
Oh, my gosh.
Or like they don't have any problems. I really believe, and this I know this is the truth, the greatest fierce assault of the enemy, Satan, the father of lies, the destroyer of life. The fury of the enemy is focused on the believer.
Yep.
He's already got the others in his hand. So he does fight us, and he does set us back, so he knocks us back.
Well, he had a major, and here's the reason, I misunderstood the Lord, and I teach the Bible for a living, and I misunderstood the Lord. So I'm talking to a friend, and I never forget this conversation, and he was like, well, we got to, you know, what do you do for fun? And I said, I don't know. I don't think I do anything for fun. I don't hunt. I don't fish. I don't camp. I don't work all my life to go pretend like I'm homeless for a week. I mean, I don't go camp. My idea of hunting is bring me my steak medium rare. That's about as close as I get. And so I'm like, I don't know. And he said, let me ask you this question. He said, what brings you joy? He said, I'm talking about from the inside, every cell in your body just wants to explode because you're so happy. And I looked at him and I said, honestly, I said, hearing my little girl laugh. And I'm not talking about the fake laugh. I'm talking about when your kid gives you that belly laugh that you know it's as real as it comes. I said, that right there brings me joy. And he said, stop. He said, you're an imperfect father. You know that, don't you? Jesus said in Matthew 7 that we're imperfect fathers. So if you're an imperfect father and that brings you joy, why wouldn't you think that your heavenly Father gets joy from hearing you belly laugh?
Oh, he does.
From seeing joy in you. And it was like a light bulb. I was like, God's not after my begrudging submission. He's after my joy. Yeah. And you know, it was life-changing for me.
And I'll be honest with you, I get up praising the Lord. I go to bed praising the Lord. I praise the Lord all day long. Doesn't mean I don't have challenges. Don't mean I don't weep. Mm-hmm. I weep over the needs of others. Weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice. I mean, I'm able to, but I have praise filling me. I don't have to go have something to have joy. Mm-hmm. Joy lives inside me. I was so proud of our son, Randy, who wrote a book on God Wants You Happy, but he immediately makes it clear that that's the joy that's within.
Yes, sir.
It's not just pleasures around you. It's what's on the inside.
Well, the other thing that stands out to me is, because people go, well, if God's after my joy, then why am I in pain or why am I struggling? And it's because most of the time we misunderstand him. For example, the other day I walked in to our kitchen and Karis was in the floor playing with something. And I didn't pay attention to it. I walked by and I came back by and I stopped and looked and she was playing with a scorpion that was in the floor. And so I removed her from the situation. Killed the scorpion. I think God gave Satan two chances to create something. The first thing he created was scorpions. Second thing was cats. So we don't have a cat, but the scorpion, I mean, that has to be what Satan looks like. And so I killed this thing. Like, I came down on it with my foot with everything I had. And she's weeping because in her mind, I just ruined her fun. But as her father, I just removed her from a painful situation.
Absolutely.
And at the end of the day, I think we won't do what God wants until we understand who he is. And when we understand that he really is a loving father that wants us to be filled with joy, it's a lot easier to submit to him rather than the cosmic cop who has a whistle in his mouth that's always trying to call a foul on every time we seem to be having a good time.
Yeah, didn't you live with a lot of misery, Betty, because you kind of felt like that God was like some kind of a policeman or something?
Oh, yeah, I thought if I didn't do everything just so, he was going to get me, you know.
Dot the I's, cross the T's.
Yeah, everything, just perfect. Like, until I realized it was about relationship with him, and it wasn't just doing all the right things, but it was that relationship with him, and when I was happy, he was happy. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was sad, he was sad. I felt like when I learned that God is in all of my situations in life, that it made a big difference.
Well, I remember I held Karis one time. She was just really, really young, 7 or 8 months old, and I was putting her to bed, and I was rocking her and just talking to her, and you know, little babies, they're looking all around and they're just kind of, you know, whatever. And I never will forget this night. It's one of the most impactful moments of my life because her eyes locked with mine. They just locked. And it was that moment that a parent experiences with a child that you just can't put in. They just locked. And I looked at her and she looked at me and I was captivated. And I put her in, you know, it seemed like forever, but I put her in her crib and I left. And as soon as I walked out of the room, God spoke to me and he said, that's what I want from you. I want your eyes locked on me. Because when you get your eyes locked on me, your problems, your pain, your circumstances, your situations, they just get a lot smaller if you'll just lock your eyes on me.
You know, one of the things you share in Unleashed is you talk about something that happened when you were very young. And I'm sorry to have to acknowledge it happens to a lot of boys and girls.
Yes, sir.
When a molestation took place,
how
do you deal with something like that?
One of the things that I've had to come to understand is, you know, God can use everything for his glory. 1 in 3 girls and 1 in 6 boys are sexually molested before they're 18 years old. And it's a hard pill to swallow. But God can take tragedy and turn it into triumph. And only he can do that. Because at the end of the day, he took a blood-stained cross and turned it into an empty tomb. And I've got to trust that the God that can take the cross and turn it into a tomb can take what happened to me, be it tragic, be it horrible, and turn it into triumph. Because if I don't believe that, James, I spend the rest of my life as a victim. And when I read God's word, He calls us to be a lot of things, but He never calls us to be a victim of what happened to us. He calls us to move on and not allow our tragedy to define us, but Him to define us.
And to be more than conquerors.
Absolutely.
In this life, not just in the life to come. I really think so many people get caught up in the by and by. They really don't experience the fullness of the Lord in the here and now.
Absolutely.
And He really prayed for the will of God to be done now in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the conflict. I loved what Christine Kane shared when she was with us just a few weeks back about her little girl, 3 years old, buying a flashlight in Walmart. But she shined it all over Walmart and couldn't see it because all the fluorescent lights. And they were checking out. This is a great story. And her little girl was holding that light, and while she was waiting to pay for her things that she bought, her little girl said, "Mommy, can we hurry up and go find the darkness so we can shine the light?" And that's the way Christians ought to live.
Absolutely.
And we can live victorious, revealing the way out of the pain, out of the past, out of what could be a tragedy, into the triumph of His presence.
Absolutely.
And that's exactly what Lazarus experienced. There was the tragedy of his absence. If you had been here, Lord, it wouldn't have happened. But you see, he was there. And he wept because they were weeping, but he raised him from the grave, the triumph of his presence. So no matter what's happened in the past, God has got a future for you that is as bright as the fullness of his presence in your life. And you just invite him in. He will deal with your pain if you'll yield it to him and enable him to do what he's here to do. The book Unleashed by Perry Noble, it's in the bookstores. And by the way, there's his website. If you want to know more about the church there in Anderson, South Carolina, you can find out. And more about what you could get. And I suggest you get the book. Join Betty and me in just saying thanks to Perry. You're a real blessing. And I pray God bless his New Spring Church and all the people there. I want to show you something, Pastor, that's going to bless you. I want to show you a lady that, I got to be honest, I think she's typical. Well, she's what the missionaries refer to as the greatest Christians, because I often have told our missionaries all over the world, "You're the greatest Christians in the world." But no, they all correct me. The people that keep us here and enable us to be the hands of Jesus, put arms of love around broken people, they're the greatest. You are going to see one of the people that I think represent many of you and could represent every one of you. Watch this closely.
Whatever you need. You can see those kids in my mind's eye, but most of all, I want to please the Father. I want him to say that when you saw me hungry, you did something about it.
Sylvia Turner. She's feeding hundreds of thankful children in remote villages in Africa, all without leaving her home in Texas. That's because she's a longtime supporter of Life Outreach.
I can't go personally, but I'm going when I help them to go do it. The big gift is not the most important, but the important thing is that you have a heart to give. If you love Christ, you can't help but want to reach out and do something.
Sylvia lost her beloved husband, Clarence, in 2005. Their 54-year marriage produced 5 children and many grandchildren. She's traveled the world, but has discovered her greatest joy in the simple act of helping others.
I think that I would be a person most miserable if I did not do what I'm doing. It's fun. It's joyful, and the joy is really inexplainable. When I see these big old cans of food and the kids running up to get their portion, it makes you very cheerful, but also very grateful that somebody is doing the work. Some of them that will never know who Jesus was, but through the act of obedience, of Betty and James and the people that are helping them. And one thing they'll know about him, that he's a God of love. Because it's love that will do what they're doing.
How you like that, Betty?
I think that's just wonderful. You know, that sweet lady is truly one of those that provides and helps to bring joy to children's lives and to the mothers of these children that are dying if we don't help them and give them some food. And James, you know, every time we've ever been over the mission field, you and I get back home and we say, we were the ones blessed. Because we were an instrument of God, God used us to be a blessing to them and to take these children some food just to survive.
You know, even as I was listening to her and realizing that she's talking about those children running up to get the food, well, of course, they can only run up to get the food if it's there. And that's what we're asking you to do. We're asking you to enable us to keep giving them the bowls and putting something in the bowls. I mean, they'll bring a tin can because it's what they bring. They'll bring whatever they can. And our viewers said, give them a bowl. Years ago, this happened a lot. And it wouldn't have been a plastic bag as neat as this one. But they would bring some kind of plastic bag, and these little kids were so hungry, and we would pour the hot soup in it, and it would burn through. And I can remember several times, it was one of the most gut-wrenching scenes of my life. When it would go through this bag and hit the ground, the little child would drop down into the dirt and try to get the soup and the food up off the dirt. And that makes me want to start crying right now. But you see, people like that precious lady said, let's don't just give them food, let's give them nice plastic bowls that are heat resistant, and that's what we've done. And it says life in the bottom of it, and that's what we're putting in it. But here's what I want you to know. We have to have your help to keep doing it. You're making, with her help and your help, it possible for us right now to have 3,000 mission workers just in the mission feeding areas, 3,000 workers that are there. You keep them there, and then you give them the food. And we've got another miracle. Now, miracle one is to do what she's doing. The 30, the 50, the 100 feeds 3, 5, or 10 children for the next several months. All right, that gift today keeps giving. But we've had a miracle answer to prayer. We've got a $3.8 million gift offer of a food grant that if we can just get the transportation and the personnel in place to deliver it to all these remote, hard-hit areas, crisis areas. This is an incredible miracle. If we can just get that, we will get all that $3.8 million. That's in addition to what we're doing to feed in these areas. It all goes together to make it possible to reach the goals that God has set before us through the eyes of the missionaries, really through the eyes of the Lord. That means, think about it, 640,000 needed now to deliver $3.8 million in food grants. Now, that's multiplying your gift 6 times. That means if you would dial that number, take your bank card and give $100, go to lifetoday.org, say, here's my $100 gift, it becomes $600. And I'd really like you to consider this because we're going to need the transport. We're going to need the way to do it. Could you give $1,000? It'll be multiplied to 6,000. Everything you give right now will be multiplied by 6 to enable us to put those food grants to work. Would you dial that number, please? Experience the joy that you just heard expressed. Some of you know that joy. Some of you are going to step up and say, you know what? I'm going to start doing it, and I'm starting today. Those of you who have helped, we need your help today. Please make the call. Make the gift God put on your heart. We've got some gifts to send to you to bless you.
At this very moment, children are drawing what could be their last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Today, you can help stop the cycle of death. You can help save a life. Life's mission feeding teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of 400,000 suffering children in remote areas of Africa. And now we have a miracle opportunity. A $3.8 million food grant has been offered to us for our mission and relief efforts. All we have to do is guarantee we can deliver the food at a cost of $640,000. This means your gift today can now have 6 times the impact. $30 to help feed 3 children can have a $180 impact. $50 for 5 children can have a $300 impact. And $100 to help feed 10 children can have a $600 impact for feeding. With your gift, you can receive James Robison's newest book, God of All Creation. Through his personal observations of animals and wildlife, James shares heartwarming stories and spiritual lessons of God's love and grace. With your gift of $125 to help feed 10 children, you may request the new Jesus Calling Devotional Bible, featuring 260 scripture insights from the author of the Jesus Calling Devotional, Sarah Young. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help save the lives of 100 children, which today can have a $6,000 impact. And you may also request the Lion and the Lamb bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
You know, I do want to say thank you for your gift, and I want to tell you this. This is a gift for Christmas, for special occasions. Anybody that loves pets, anybody that just loves God's creation and wants to see how it speaks, consider the birds, consider the ants. What about the pets? Boy, did I learn a lot from our little black dachshund, haven't we together,
mm-hmm.
Betty?
Oh, yeah.
And everybody has loved the inspiration that people are buying for all their friends. Everybody's got a pet. Oh, here's Princess, our little dachshund, driving our pickup truck. That's quite classy. She does that, and she's looking. So what's she looking for? She's looking for rabbits. Because she is doing what she was made to do. She's hunting. And I said, when I saw how excited she is, I said, God, I want to live excited to do what you created me to do, to be who you created me to be. Mm. I'm excited to send you that. Thank you so much for helping us. Would you say thanks to Perry Noble and get the book Unleashed? It is absolutely great. Express your thanks to Perry. Bless you in the church, brother.
Thank you so much.
Love and appreciate you. Thank all of you for being such a special blessing. Thanks for being a friend for life.
The consequences to come to pass that will teach us.
Beth Moore, tomorrow on Life Today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.